I don't know where they go. They go back out this. Oh, they're out there. You know, today I want to follow up on what we started. We're talking about the gospel, and it's real important, okay? And I know you guys are my friends because you're all grinning. You know, what I want to talk about today is a really huge thing, really. There's always a reason, right? There's always a reason. Like, what? You mean there's a reason you guys are smiling? Those of you that are like nurturers are about to die because you can't stand for me to come out here with the toilet paper hanging out of my pants, can you? There was a reason you were smiling. There's a reason. Okay, I will take care of it, sort of. Now, y'all still happy? What I want to talk about today, this is really, really, really important. I wanted to get this so locked in your minds that it'll become your go-to thought. There's always a reason. And, you know, we've been talking about the gospel. Last week, I talked specifically about shame, guilt and shame. And it's really, really, the gospel deals with that at the very foundational level. And today I want to talk about this because it is good news, right? The gospel is good news. And I want you to know, I'm writing a book right now. And it's my second book I'm writing. Nothing's been published yet or even finished yet. So I didn't finish the first one yet. I haven't finished the second one yet, but I may someday. But listen, I'm writing a book. You know what the title is? It's Rip My Heart Out as I've been writing it. The title is, There Is Something Wrong With Me. What's actually, it's a question. What's wrong with me? And I know none of you have ever had those thoughts. I very clearly remember growing up, and I sort of remember, I don't remember the exact day, but I remember the time when I started noticing that people were noticing me, not in good ways. Like, I would say something awkward. Like, Dan and I bond a lot because we both, if we open our mouths, there's probably going to be a shoe in there. And it's time to get your foot out of your mouth. You know, and it's just part of what we do, isn't it, Dan? It's like, he's 100% with me. He said, you can throw me under the bus all you want to. I'm like, I will, and I'll back over you two or three times. Right? And that's how I make friends. So I'm writing this book, and it's ripping my heart out because you and I don't want to admit that there's something wrong with me. We don't want to admit that. And it starts causing pain. And I remember working so hard to become normal. Like, you know, where people didn't look at you funny when you walked in a room. Like, doesn't everybody chip over cracks in the sidewalk? I did. Don't everybody have weird emotional responses to circumstances? I just so appreciate our elders. If you've been around here, around Grace very long, like the other day, Kay Bays, one of our elders, she came in, and me and Harvey were here at the church, and she had something on her heart, something serious, something that, excuse me, I like to be buttoned. She had something on her heart, and so she warned me and Harvey. She's so smart. She said, listen, here's what I need from you two. Like, she told me how to react emotionally to what she was about to share, which is wisdom. It really is wise of her. And so Harvey and I, we're ready, aren't we, Harvey? We're like getting in a football stance. Like, we're going to do this right. And she shared her heart. She shed a few tears. I just couldn't do it, could I, Kay? I didn't make it. I was quiet for 2 or 3 minutes, and then I opened my mouth, and I did exactly the opposite of what she had asked me to do. But she loves me, so it didn't really matter to her. It's okay. She said, and Harvey didn't do much better than me, honestly. He's like, anybody want to see a miracle? It's like, she didn't come in for a miracle, Harvey. She came in because she needed to share something in her heart. Guys, we're all like that. All of us are like that. And I want you to know something today. I want you to leave with this. There's always a reason. There's a reason things hurt. There's a reason things go bad. And I believe that when you have the wrong, when you don't look at it right, and we looked at the beginnings, we go to the foundation. You go to the foundation, it says in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. You see, I thought there was something wrong with me, so I tried to change myself for about 40 years. And as I got older, I got pretty good at it. So the Alan that people were seeing wasn't the real Alan. Like, I could quit saying awkward things. I learned how to manipulate that. I remember, I'm probably the only person in the world in the history of America. I love basketball. I'm horrible at basketball. I'm terribly uncoordinated. I can't shoot. I can't dribble. You know, and back when I was playing, you couldn't palm the ball the way they do now. You couldn't carry it over. That was a penalty. And I was like, I tried out for the 7th grade basketball team in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Big junior high. They only had 2 junior highs in the whole city of Fort Smith. And I tried out. They laughed me off the court. Well, I made up my mind that wasn't going to happen again. I'm playing basketball every day of the year. So we moved from Fort Smith to Cabot. I lived in Ward. And Cabot was just a little tiny school then, a AA school. I mean, we didn't have but I think 12 people even try out for basketball in junior high. And so I tried out. I'm going to make it this year. I was the manager. That means I picked up the towels, the dirty clothes, the socks. I washed the clothes in the gym. I would go to the games. You know, at least I got to ride on the bus with the real basketball players. And I rode on the bus, and me and the bus driver would be the only 2 people in the stands. We had the worst basketball team. They won 2 games all year round. You know, it's like there wasn't anything wrong with me. That's just who I was. I wasn't any good at basketball. That didn't mean I'm bad. That didn't mean I'm less than. Yeah, I'll tell you the rest of the story. I ended up getting really, really good at playing defense, rebounds, assists. I never could shoot. And I ended up making the team in high school, believe it or not. And we had the best basketball team maybe Cabot's ever had my senior year in high school. But it wasn't because I was good at basketball. I'm still not. And I believe that we need to know something. But I learned something. Unless you get the foundation right, you're going to work yourself to death trying to build the house. You know, I have a couple of friends, right, that are actually real carpenters. And the other day I was talking to Dan, the real carpenter, and I was talking to Craig Hoff. Him and Dan were working together, real carpenter. I'm a wannabe carpenter, and so I try to talk like I know about carpentry when I'm talking to Dan and Craig. And we were talking about, if you've ever remodeled, it's hard to remodel when something's not square. If it's not level, if the foundation's not right, it is very, very hard. It takes a really good carpenter to build a house on a bad foundation. And even then, you're just covering up a lot of stuff. And I'm not good enough to do that, but I know the theory behind it. Like, if the foundation's not straight, you can't get the door straight. The other day, Friday, I was over at Daniel's house, their new house, and it's very well built. And Jennifer had wanted some blinds put up in one of the bedrooms. And so she went and got the blinds the first time I was over there, and they were like 2 inches too long to go in the window. And so she took them back to Home Depot. She measured, right? They cut them off. So I'm over there, and I'm going to help Daniel hang this blind up, and we get the brackets all set, and we put the blind up there, and it's 1/4 inch too wide. The window is 1/4 inch too narrow. The blind's 1/4 inch too long. It won't fit. I mean, just 1/4 inch, but it will not go. And Jennifer, you know, Jennifer, my daughter-in-law, she had measured the window. She had measured the window. Well, there's always a reason if something's not going right. And we're like, and then Daniel thought, well, let's see if they'll fit at the bottom of the window. And we put it at the bottom of the window, and it fits. But the window's not square. It's narrower at the top than it is at the bottom. And Jennifer, of course, she can't reach the top. So when she measured the window, she measured the bottom. You know, now you're all experienced from now on. If you're going to put blinds in a window, measure the top and the bottom. Make sure the window's square, because very few things are square in a house. And guys, I believe a lot of our lives, it's so important that we get the foundation right. And I believe that we've had the foundation has been crooked in most of our understanding of what's going on in our lives. You know what? God has a way of doing things. And I want you to look at this. Now, I know we looked at these same verses last week, but I want you to really look at these verses. And it's hard. You know, you might be saying, well, Alan, why are you trying to mess up my apple cart? I've been getting apples off this apple cart my whole life. Why do you want to turn it over? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's a revelation of the kingdom of God coming in the world. And here's the number one thing is, there's nothing wrong with you. There's always a reason. You know, they didn't cut those curtains wrong. They didn't cut those blinds wrong. There was a reason. And it was because the window wasn't square. It wasn't Jennifer's fault. She measured it correctly. They cut it correctly. Daniel and I, of course, did a great job of putting the brackets up. The problem was the window wasn't square. And we could get mad. We can get upset. But I want to tell you, if you are having a problem in your life, it's because there's a reason. It's not because you're bad. There's nothing wrong with you. You are handmade, created by God for a divine purpose and destiny in this world. But guys, we were raised in a world that we judge ourselves. I wrote a book, What's Wrong With Me? Because I spent my whole life thinking there was something wrong with me because I'm not like everybody else. And neither are you. And God Himself made us that way. So, guys, let's look at this. Y'all know this passage. When God created the heavens and the earth, this actually foreshadows, it gives us a hint of what everything's about. Now, look what God said in the first verse. When God created the heavens and the earth was completely formless and empty with nothing but darkness draped over the deep. Do you know that in Scripture, throughout Scripture, what darkness represents? Evil. Suffering, pain, the enemy, demonic realm. You see, the way this is written in Hebrew, what the great Hebrew scholars say is this is an entity. This isn't just darkness. It's not just the absence of light. This is darkness. And that's very important that we understand that from the very beginning this was going on. God's Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. I didn't say hoover, I said hover. In my mind, I'm thinking the vacuum cleaner, hoover, but it's hovered, okay? I don't want y'all thinking I'm stupid, because I used to believe I was stupid. Like, do any of you guys judge yourselves that way? That you're not good enough? Or you're something wrong with you? Do you compare yourselves with people? You know, I mean, not everybody can be funny like I am. Right? I understand. Me and Bill Cosby, like this. No, not really. Not really. Not Bill Cosby. Fred Rogers. Me and Mr. Rogers are like this. I just turned red. Listen, I'll go on to that. I'm going to go on to that. I'm going to tell you, Bill Cosby was in bondage. The darkness that covered the waters of the deep, the darkness that God is pointing out here, was the same darkness that was controlling his behavior when he did what he did. Just saying. But God, his Spirit, hovered over the face of the waters, and then God announced, "Let there be light." And you know who he's talking about. Jesus stood up and said, in the darkest time in history, the darkest time in history, Jesus stood up and said, "I am the light of the world." You know what that means? None of us have to live in darkness anymore. The darkness tried to destroy him. It did. The darkness tried to destroy him, but the darkness could not quench the light, because the light makes the darkness flee. Guys, you've got hope. Yeah, but I've got problems. Amen. The bigger your problem, the bigger the light. Yeah, but you don't know who I am. I do. You're no better or worse than me. None of us are. Guys, it's a big deal. And God saw that the light was pleasing and beautiful, and He used the light to dispel the darkness. You see, we're in a battle. And if you don't get the foundation right, unless the Lord builds the house, everything you do is going to fail in every way. Guys, He is the answer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to have exciting, abundant, happy, joy-filled, purposeful lives is with Jesus Christ. He's the light. And you know what? There's more you need to know. Now, I want to go over these verses. I know we did it. So in the very beginning, remember, God created everything, put Adam and Eve out there, and He made a point to say in Scripture, the man and his wife felt no shame, unaware that they were naked. Or in Arkansas, we call it naked. They didn't even know. I was like that when I was a little kid. I didn't know I was weird. I didn't know I thought funny. I didn't know I wasn't the same as everybody else. I didn't know that I had all these limitations and all these unique abilities. All I knew was when I looked around at me, people would turn away or do what y'all did. Y'all grinned when I walked up on stage with toilet paper. You think I didn't notice that? And what do you start doing when you start noticing you're different? You start judging yourself, or you do like I did, and you try really hard to be better. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof leads to death. There's only one way to life. And that you need, if you get the foundation right, why is this important for us? How come that's such a big deal that there's a reason? That's a huge deal, because if you get this right, you'll stop judging yourself. You'll stop judging other people. It'll set you free from all the stuff, the bondages that came from your past. If you get the foundation right, then there's hope for you and every other person on earth. If you get this foundation right, every addiction can be set free. Every bondage can be broken. Every human on earth is of equal value and worth. You know why they call the place that takes care of animals a humane society? Because they believe you're going to act human to animals. What does human mean? It means you value life. All life. All judgment comes from right here. The man and the woman felt no shame. They were unaware that they were naked. Well, look what else. Then he goes on. He says, God, of course, after they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was how they were able to figure out that they were bad. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of right and wrong, of good and bad. If I just knew what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do, that'll make me happy. That'll put you in bondage to the devil. Jesus can make you happy, not knowing what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God, after Adam and Eve ate from the tree, they made some fig leaves to cover up their nakedness, which they didn't really have. They didn't change. Look what God did. God went and looked for them. He called them by name. Do you know what God was doing with us at the banqueting table? He's calling you by name to come and take. Well, you're not, I'm not even a Christian. He's calling you by name. I'm not doing near what I should. He's calling you by name. I've broken. I'm an addict. I've been divorced. I've murdered somebody. I've whatever. He's calling you by name, the same as He called Adam and Eve. And Adam answered and said, I heard your powerful presence moving in the garden. You know, He was their loving Father until they ate from that tree, and now He's a powerful presence. We played whack-a-mole last week. He was the whack-a-mole God. No, He's not. And so, Adam said, I was afraid because I was naked. And now, you want to know what the problem is? who told you that you were naked? Well, guess what? There's always a reason for the pain and suffering in this world. There's a reason for the problems we have that won't go away. There's a reason for all the horrible things that happen. And you know what it is? It's not you. It's not humans. It's not humans. God wasn't mad at Adam and Eve. All of us were taught that. That was our foundation of how we came into following Jesus. Bad foundation. It's not in Scripture. He said, Adam, who told you that? God knew what the problem was. Matter of fact, Jesus knew God when He created the heavens and the earth and darkness covered the face of the waters. Jesus said, I'll go. And He brought, the light came. God is not mad at you at all. Listen to what it says in Hebrews. And again, I'll put my trust in Him. And again, He says, here am I, this is Jesus, and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death, by Jesus' death, He might destroy not people. Who do you want to destroy? Well, those Afghanistans. Oh, those face mask people. Oh, those anti-vaccine people. Oh, those fill in the blank. God didn't come to destroy people. And if you want to destroy people, you and God aren't on the same team. That doesn't mean you don't love Him. That doesn't mean He doesn't love you. But He's going this way and you're going that way. He sent His Son to destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. You know why you act the way you do? There's a reason. You were taught you're bad. That's wrong. Bad foundation. Bad foundation. And I'm telling you, I know this is upsetting your apple cart. It's disagreeing with it, maybe everything you've ever been taught. But you need to study the Scriptures and see. Because in 20 years of me and my friends helping people who are the worst bondage and addictions and lifestyles of anyone you could ever imagine, the worst abused people you can't even imagine, in 20 years I've never seen God once be mad at the person, no matter what they did. And I've seen everything from murder to every, name it. And Jesus loved every person. But He was upset with somebody. Matter of fact, He came to destroy the devil. And to free those, here's a key word in Hebrews. And this is not by accident. And He came to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. You know what happened to Adam and Eve? They were taken slaves. They became slaves. They're prisoners of war. And the same thing happens to us. When Jesus came and rose from the dead, He set us free from slavery. Every human on earth. And now, we get to choose, right? So God is not mad at you. The devil takes humanity captive. Well, we're going to do like I think Bill Cosby actually said the devil made me do it too, didn't he? You mean I can blame everything on the devil? Well, you could, except for God set you free. So you get to choose your master. We get to choose our master. All of us do. And you know what? It's interesting. This all makes sense to me. Jesus said this, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And the crowd there said, they heard it, said it sounded like it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. You see, we aren't the problem. And then Paul says this, and it's very important. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So everyone was a slave to the enemy before Jesus rose from the dead. Then after he rose from the dead, now we get to choose to follow Jesus or not. We get to choose to lock arms with him or not. The Bible says we get to choose to be a bond slave, someone who chooses to be a slave to someone. We choose that now. Or some places in our hearts, in our lives, in our history, we aren't in step with Jesus. Just like that, if you choose to hate and Jesus is loving, you have just separated yourself from him. And guess who you just hooked up with? And I say that in the sexual meaning. Ask your husband if you don't know what that's talking about. This is what happens. You choose to go your own way, the enemy comes in and he puts a hook in you, he puts a seed in you, and now you become a slave to him in that part of your life. And now you begin to misbehave. You begin to become a person with anger. You begin to become a person with rage. You begin to just do things that the world says is unacceptable. And it may go to the point of murder. And the whole time, it's because you chose to not walk with Jesus, but to live this way. So you decided, Jesus, you can love those people. I hate them. And then you wonder why you can't control your behavior, you can't control your temper, you can't control your life. It's because you did the same exact thing that Paul said, don't do this. It's for freedom Jesus set us free. So be firm. What do you need to be firm in? Your relationship with Jesus. That's where all life comes from. But if you don't go there, guess what happens? So, you know, it's like this. I have a friend. He is not my friend. I admire this man. You need to get this. There's always a reason for what your behavior is, what your feelings are, what your emotions are. Every addiction, every mental health disorder, sadness, brokenness, heart, everything, there's always a reason. And that reason is going to be somewhere where you're disconnected from the Lord. And if you connect with him, then he sets you free. Now, God's not mad at you. The devil is the problem. You are not the problem. Now, if you're not the problem, then neither is your wife or your husband. That you know what? Here's crazy. Do you mean none of us are victims? That's exactly what Jesus did. He set us free, so none of us are victims. Now, I'm not talking about when you're 4 years old and you're getting raped by your great uncle or whatever. They're victims. But I'm talking about now, you adults. There's not a one of us that's a victim. If I have anger, if I have an addiction, if I have a depression, if I have an overpowering compulsion to eat, whatever it is, there's always a reason, and I'm in control of the reason. You know, I have this guy I admire, Dr. Paul Brand. You guys may or may not have heard about him. But he's the one who actually, and I want to show a video about him. Philip Yancey is this big-time Christian author who's a very intelligent guy. And him and Dr. Brand wrote a book together. And I have a video. Is that video ready to show? Cool. This is Philip Yancey.
My first real book was a book called Where Is God When It Hurts? I was only 25, 26 years old when I was working on that book, but that's a question we all have, the question of pain. Why is there so much suffering in the world? I was spending my time in libraries reading books on the problem of pain and the curse of pain, and my wife brought me a little pamphlet that she found in a closet somewhere that was on the gift of pain by Dr. Paul Brand. So I called him up out of the blue, asked him if I could come interview him, and we got together and eventually spent 10 years together writing on books. He had a unique view of pain, unlike anyone I've ever met. He said, thank God for pain. If there was one gift that I could give my leprosy patients, it would be the gift of pain. About a third of patients with leprosy eventually do go blind, and it's because they don't feel pain. We have a little pain cell inside our eyes that tells us every time our eyes dry out and we blink every few seconds, all day long. A person with leprosy doesn't feel that pain, so he doesn't blink. She doesn't blink, and therefore they can go blind. I met a man who lost his fingers because he insisted on raking leaves without gloves. And he had a splinter that went under the skin. He didn't treat it because he didn't feel the pain, and eventually an infection set in. In fact, the Surgeon General, Dr. C. Everett Koop, who I interviewed at one point, told me that Dr. Brand was responsible for preventing something like 50 to 70,000 amputations per year. Because it's not just leprosy where people become painless and are in danger. In a disease like diabetes, also there's a numbing effect. And if you don't feel pain through the shoes you wear, through not paying attention to blisters if you're doing something out in the yard, that can create a danger that eventually leads to amputation. And once doctors know that, once patients know that, they can look for other warning signs and prevent the kind of abuse that Dr. Brand spent his life treating.
He's written some great books. You may want to. I love that book. It's a little technical, but it's a great book. Dr. Paul Brand, medical missionary. He was in India, he was in England, and he ended up in the United States. And Dr. Koop, the Surgeon General, said Dr. Brand's work saves 50 to 70,000 amputations a year. You see, because you know what I think we've done? When Jesus' day, leprosy was a horrible, horrible thing to have, right? You remember what they did. If you were a leper in his day, they pushed you off into isolation. They didn't understand. They thought it was a skin disease. They didn't know what Dr. Brand found out was it's not a skin disease, it's a nerve disease, and lepers can't feel. And I wanted to put some pictures up here of people with nubs and missing fingers and lost eye and ears. And you know those pictures, right? Leprosy in Jesus' day, you had to walk around and you had to dress a certain way that let everybody know that you were unclean. And if somebody came within 100 feet of you, you had to yell at them. If Terry was walking up to me and I had leprosy, I'd be like, unclean, Terry, unclean, which means stay away from me. There's something wrong with me. And Dr. Brand discovered that there wasn't anything wrong with them. They had a disease that affected their nerves. And you know, the truth is the church, the world, not just the church, but really the church and the world both, what we've done is we've treated people that have issues the same as they used to treat lepers. You know what I mean? We won't do it as obviously. But you know, those people who don't have enough money to wear the latest clothes, we don't really want to be around them. Or you know, those people that wear all black and paint their fingernails black, we don't really want to be around them. Or you know, those people who wear cowboy hats and cowboy boots and spurs to town, we don't want to be around them. Or you know, the people that you know, in our world, we intentionally separate ourselves from each other just as much as the lepers did. The problem is, it's okay to do all those things. It's not okay to think that there's something wrong with them. But in our world, we judge. If you have an anger problem, if you have an addiction, if you're a cutter, if you're a pothead, if you have depression, if you suffer anxiety attacks, if you're sad, We do the same thing that they did to lepers. And you know what's odd? We do it to ourselves. Like, how do you cope with the things in your life that make you different? Maybe you do like me. You work really hard at hiding them. You work really hard to become normal. Maybe you only smoke in the smoke shed and you wouldn't dare do it out in public where people could see you. I mean, I can see the skull marks in your pants. You aren't really hiding it that good. You know, or you got bubble gum. That's that bubble gum, right? No. Or you go to a place where everybody has the same addiction you have or the same bondage you have. And that way you can be yourself and you can relax and be around the people you like. You know what? The truth is, there's always a reason for those things in our lives. My anger, came from somewhere. I'm not an angry person. You know, it's funny. I'm writing that book, What's Wrong With Me? I had no idea how painful it was going to be emotionally for me to go back and think about that stuff. I mean, just to think about when I noticed people laughing at me. I'm not real introspective. Like, some of you guys are really gifted with that introspective thing. I'm not. And I remember I never got picked for teams when I was in, like, elementary school. Any of you guys don't get picked for teams ever? Like, I remember one big fight I got into with, like, 20 guys all at once. I was like, I wanted to play baseball. I just couldn't catch a ball, throw a ball, or hit a ball. But I had a glove. And, you know, in my neighborhood in Fort Smith, all the kids would go, the boys would go, not the girls. No girls, right, because they don't get to play. The boys would go to the playground, and we had 20 kids. I mean, there's a bunch of kids in my neighborhood, and we're going to play a real baseball game. And we're lined up, and, of course, the best players get to pick the teams, which is never me. And so I'm lined up on the fence. You know, we had fences. I mean, the whole dugout, the whole thing. I'm lined up on the fence, and they're picking. And I'm like, I think that was the first day I noticed they didn't pick me ever. And it hurt. It hurt inside. Do y'all know how it hurts to be excluded? It hurt. It touched a wound in me that was there a long time before that day. You see, leprosy, people looked at the skin problem as the problem. They didn't go deep enough. And guys, I'm going to tell you, there's always a reason. So if you have something going on in your life, it's not you. There's something causing it. But we don't go deep enough. We just want to control the outward behavior, not realizing. You know what I did that day? Now, I'm a scrawny little kid. They weren't picking me for a reason. I was not a good athlete. You know what I did? I went outside the fence where they had all parked their bikes. You know, bikes were our prized possessions. We had banana seats, those old style with the handlebars. They were great. They all had their bikes parked out there and all in a row. You know, it was really cool. I walked out there. I was so mad. I kicked their bikes over and stomped on them until they actually got so close to me. They all started running off the field. And I stomped until I thought I better leave. And then I took off running. And I could run a long time. And I figured they would quit chasing me after a couple of blocks. Was I wrong? That was not a good day. I guess they really got mad. So I'm still running, and I thought, I'm going to go home. I didn't live too far away. So, Dana, you remember the house with the garage behind it? I run home. It's a Sunday afternoon. My mom and dad always slept on Sunday afternoons. And so I run into my yard, and they knew it was my yard. This was my neighborhood kids. I run into my yard, and I'm looking. They don't stop. I'm like from here to the doors in front of them. I'm like, I am a dead man, because my neighborhood boys, they would beat you. And so I hit the back door, which went into the kitchen, and I said, surely they won't go in my house. Ah, I'm screaming, I'm running, and I run down the hallway. My parents was the last bedroom on the left down the hallway, I think, if I remember right. I'm running down the hallway, and when I bust open my parents' door, and my dad gets up and says, what's going on? And I'm like, and he walks out the hallway, and the kids, they're all this tall, right? They see him, and they all took off running. I'm like, whoo. Saved by the skin of my teeth that time. What caused that problem was my anger, which came from somewhere way before that day. In my whole life, things like that would happen. Those kids were so mean, they all went and stood out in the street because we all knew that the street was public property, so they didn't leave. They stayed out there most of the afternoon waiting for me to come out. I'm like, I ain't going out. I may be stupid, but I'm not that stupid, right? So God set a way up. His foundation is this. If you abide in Christ, you'll have life and you'll have love and the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. All these things happen when you're holding hands with Him, when you're touching Him. All those things are fruit that come out of your life. But if you're not holding hands with Him and you're going your own way, the acts of the flesh, independent flesh, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry. Witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, the list goes on. Look it up. You know what that does? That tells you there's a reason. So every mental health disorder comes from somewhere. Every addiction comes from somewhere. Every lack of love, lack of patience, lack of kindness comes from somewhere. Lack of self-control and discipline, it comes from somewhere. It's not you. You are not the problem. Jesus never called you anything but a sheep. And even when you were lost, you were a lost sheep that he loves. The devil's the problem. And we let him have control of us. You know, I love some of Dr. Brand's quotes. He said this, "Previously I had thought of pain as a blemish of creation." Sort of looks like it, doesn't it? God's one great mistake. Tommy Lewis taught me otherwise. Seen from his point of view, pain stands out as an extraordinary feat of engineering, valuable beyond measure. A healthy body attends to the pain of the weakest part. The health of the body depends largely on its attentiveness to the pain network God created in every one of us. You see, but we look at those other things not as something that's pointing us to something, but as something that points to us. And so we're not going deep enough. The church has been treating people, we've been treating our own selves like we're lepers. Jesus had an answer for leprosy. The most horrible thing of his day. It was worse than being an LSU fan in the state of Arkansas. It was worse than that. I'm telling you. You're scum of the earth. I mean, no, you're not scum of the earth. I didn't mean that. That was a slip of the tongue. But you might be not. Anyway, the health of the body. It really is that. Do you mean that the emotional pain I'm feeling is put there by God to show me what the real problem is? Yes. You mean my addiction is to show me what the real problem is? Yes. And you know the answer to every problem? It's the same for all of us. You know what Jesus did one day? Yeah, I love this passage. You can look it up in Luke 5, verse 12. Jesus was in one of the towns. Lepers weren't supposed to be in town. They put them in their own place, right? A man came along who was covered with leprosy. You and I can't understand what that looks like. I didn't want to show you the picture. Y'all can look it up. You can Google it, right? When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." In my worst place, in my deepest pain, you know what? Jesus did the same thing to me. He touched me. You see, all you need today is this. This is just representation of him touching you. You don't have to. You see, we've been treating the symptoms and not treating the cause. We've been judging the symptoms and judging that we're bad or they're bad. And the truth is, there's always a reason. And there's an answer to every problem on earth. His name's Jesus. It's for so long. You know how we've been treating it? We take painkillers. Dr. Brand is dead now. He died just a few years ago. He said, he was in England, and then he was in India. He was in England during World War II, the bombing. He was a doctor at that time in medical school, just gotten out. He said, "I've never seen such a happy, dedicated people as the people in England during the bombings." He said, "Most of them, 50 years later, were still saying those were the best days of our life." And we think pain is what makes life bad. It's not. Pain actually will bring you to life. What'd Jesus do? He reached out his hand, broke every law, and touched the man. You know what Jesus wants to do for you? He wants to touch you. "Well, I'm not clean. I have all these issues." I know the smarter you are, the more you judge yourself. I know. It's just the truth. But he doesn't. He wants to touch you. Yeah, but you've been trying. How's that worked out for you? The way you've been dealing with your pain, how's that working for you? Really, honestly. Is it making you better? It took me 40 years before I finally came to the place where I was like, you know what? There's a reason I have this anger. I don't know what it is, but it's somewhere I'm disconnected from God. And just a couple of days after that, I got to experience what that leper experienced. And nothing and no one can take that away from me. It's unbelievable. Jesus wants to touch you today. Now, I think this morning when I got that's not Lisa, that's Peter. He's not a cross-dresser, it's really Peter. I was expecting Lisa, I was a little shocked. I don't know if you need to come and sit at one of these chairs or just stand or maybe just in your heart, in your mind, come and stand at the table. I believe Jesus wants to touch you. I believe he wants to change your paradigm. If we don't get this foundation right, if we don't read the scriptures and get it right, it's going to put us in bondage for the rest of our lives. And it actually gives us a reason to judge people of other races, other ethnicities, other social groups, other colors, men or women. Judging that way makes you a judge. And Jesus doesn't judge. He loves. So this morning, if you want to stand with me. So I've been wondering how to do this. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come now, and Lord, I just ask you to reveal what's on your heart. So let the Lord reveal that to you personally. Between him and you, what's on his heart for you this morning? So yeah, if you need to come and stand, kneel, or sit at the table, it's open. If you're in leadership and you may want to pray with people, or maybe you just need to right where you're at, just to close your eyes and stand at the table. So let's just wait on the Lord for a few minutes. So God, I pray today for our friends that aren't here, that are online, around the world. God, I just ask that you would just bring the revelation to all of us that there's always a reason. That God, you would destroy the division and judging and lording over people and the hatred, the bigotry, the racism, God, every way that this thing, this division comes into our world. God, I ask that you would change the foundation of the body of Christ. That we would all begin to see. That every single one of us would be able to say, there's nothing wrong with me. I just need to hold his hand. So I believe Jesus is holding out his hand, wanting to touch you today. So I just invite you to let him touch you. So if anybody else would like prayer, the front will be open and we'll be praying for people. If you have a physical need of any kind, or if you just need to experience him, if you just need to experience Jesus this morning, there'll be somebody up here to pray with you, okay? So God, I just appreciate the courage you're giving people right now. And Jesus, I just thank you that you love us and that you aren't mad at us. And God, I just ask that you would continue to set us free from shame and guilt and judgment. And I just thank you, King. Amen. Thank you for your patience today. If you would like somebody to pray with you, there'll be people up here up front that want to pray with you, okay? God bless you.